Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Rich, and I'm the show host. And as always, thanks for stopping by and hanging out, spending a little of your time this morning with me. So I'm running a little behind today, but behind is better than not doing the podcast at all. And today is Wildcard Wednesday, so what are we going to talk about? We're actually not going to talk about tech items or anything. We are instead today going to talk about full-time RV living and tiny home living, because it's become such a big thing. If you go on to Instagram, there's this whole set of things about van life and younger people living full-time out of their vans and their stealth vans and living on city streets or in beautiful locations. And then there's full-time RVing. There's this whole segment of families who have hit the road full-time. And there's a lot of them that you can find on YouTube. Just look for full-time RVers or full-time Airstreamers, and you're going to find them. So you're going to find people like myself, and you're going to find people who have sizable families who are actually full-timing. As a matter of fact, one of our neighbors in Prescott was full-timing while they're house hunting with three children and his wife. And so that, you know, five people in the space of an Airstream can get a little tiny at times. And so today I wanted to have a frank discussion and just tell you about my personal experience, the positive and the negative, where I scratch my head on the whole tiny home movement, and what I think's positive and negative about all of it. So to start off, my full-time RVing wasn't intentional. My full-time RVing started off in 2006, being given a weird diagnosis that I didn't quite understand from the medical profession, and also being given a notification of divorce. So I had a wonderful home in Sandown, New Hampshire, and I had the Airstream with the idea in mind of longer trips for my ex and I to more unique locations where we could spend more time and enjoy it and bring a small home with us. But I did like my house. I sometimes felt it was a little too big for two people and two dogs. We had a lot of space and a lot of acreage. But overall, it was kind of a dream home, a little house or a little cabin in the woods. So when all that life stuff happened, I ended up hooking up the Airstream and hitting the road, because one thing I found out was I was allergic to basically everything in my yard and everything that went in my wood stove. So living there was not a realistic thing anymore. And since the divorce came as well in the same time frame, I decided to hook up the Airstream and travel the country and see what's out there, and also look around to see if there are any places with less pollen and less of the stuff that I was allergic to that maybe I could feel more comfortable, because I spent an entire year just feeling absolutely horrible. And for a while, that did work out. I think I've stayed in this area too long, so I've started becoming a little too allergic to some of the things around here, like the pinions, for instance. They're pretty bad. But so my full timing started out unintentionally. I was not an early adopter of the tiny home movement or anything. That was 2006, and that might have started ramping up then. I'm honestly not sure. But so there was no intent to live smaller going on for me. And on many of these YouTube channels and on many of these Instagram channels and podcasts as well, a lot of people are doing this with intent. So we've also become friends with folks who are building a tiny home hotel so that people can stay in central Arizona in a tiny home and get the experience. I think that's a brilliant idea. I think it's very, very interesting. And I think they're going to do really well with it, because it'll give people who are interested in the tiny home movement some experience. Now, what I can say, so living in 200 square feet of space, and actually not 200 square feet of usable space, because there's, you know, tables and other things that are blocking and storage, you don't really have that full 200 square feet of space. But living in that as an individual by myself when I did that was doable and not bad. When you add a second person to the mix, and now you've got two people in the Airstream, like with Jody, you start really running out of space. It's very difficult to organize. You've got two people now, both utilizing the storage and the living space. And in a 25-foot Airstream, It was a little cramped, and not complaining, just stating facts. You need so much space to spread out in and live in. And in the case of the 25-foot Airstream for two people, it made things a little more difficult. It wasn't quite as enjoyable. And you're always really making sure that you didn't keep too many extra things because you didn't have the space for it. So you can't have four pairs of shoes or closets and closets and closets of clothing. That's something that you do in a larger building. And for some of the tiny homes, they definitely have more space than my Airstream did. But still, I think as you start factoring in family members, so, parents and children, these small spaces get really confining. And here's what I've been feeling like over the past couple weeks since we've moved into the rental house. I kind of feel like the animal that was in a cage and now someone left the cage door open. And I'm not quite sure what to do. Do I poke my head out of it? But for instance, in the Airstream, if I needed to get up and get something from the kitchen area, all I did was turn around in my chair and reach across, and there was the kitchen area, and the fridge was right behind me. Here, I have to get up from the computer table and leave the studio room and take a walk partway across the house out to the kitchen. By the way, the kitchen area itself has more square footage than my entire Airstream. And so that's something right there. It feels so open and so spacious. Now, in the Airstream, what you do is you go outside to get out of the confining space, and so it pushes you to do more things outside. Last year, with the heavy allergies and the extreme sinus infection, I wasn't doing much outside, so I honestly felt like I was trapped in a tube. So does that mean I'd take it all back and I'd never want to do this? No, the living full-time in the Airstream was definitely an experience. And, in another week and a half, I'm going to be on the road with the Airstream heading down to customer locations. So I'm still going to be utilizing it. But I think, as an individual in a space that size, it's doable and it won't be terrible. My first apartment by myself in college was 450 square feet of space. So that was actually more than twice the interior size of the Airstream. And that was a tiny apartment. And that's probably fitting with the size of a tiny home. And so for me, a college student, I had a little bedroom area, I had a living room area, and I had the kitchen. And there was a shower and bathroom right off of the bedroom area. It was really small. As an individual, that worked fine. When you start adding people to these small spaces, not everyone's going to get to keep all the stuff they want. So this whole minimalism thing, I get where people are coming from with it. And I've always looked for tiny technology, even before the Airstreaming, and I love mobile technology. And that can take you a good distance, but in the end, there are still some basic needs. I guess, first world problems. I need my computer, I need my iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. But I also need a place to spread out now and again and not feel like I'm on top of the people around me. And so while I appreciate the tiny home movement and I followed multiple people over the years since I started full-time Airstreaming and then heard about the tiny home movement because everyone was like, hey, you're doing a tiny home. And I was like, yeah, Airstream's kind of the original tiny home. They've been around a lot longer. So yeah, tiny homes aren't a new thing, but somehow it seems like that it's almost a new fad these days. I think, for individuals or for couples, it might be an interesting experience to try it out for, a couple of months or a couple of years to see what you think of it. And it really works well for some people. And while it's worked okay for me over the years, I honestly missed having some space to spread out and do what I'm doing right now, which is I actually have a separate room for the studio, the computers, for doing the vlogging and the podcasting. And it's really made a difference already. And mentally, I feel less stressed. I was starting to feel stressed in the Airstream, especially with the hot water heater having problems and, the freezing temperatures and everything. It hit a point for me several weeks back, which is why we ended up doing this rental home. So I'll still be Airstreaming, and you can bet I'll be trying to get as much travel time in as possible, especially with customer locations. I love going to visit them, and it's fun in the Airstream. And it's really fun when you can get out of it and, you know, really stretch out. So, you know, for families, I've met a lot of families over the years. I've met some great families, parents and children alike. And I start getting a little iffy when we're getting into, you know, larger families in these tiny spaces and, you know, not having the room to stretch out for the kids. That's just been something that's worried me. And, you know, I'm not worried in a bad way, but I've just been like, I don't know, you know, remembering my own childhood, I spent a lot of time in the summer at the camp on the lake, so I was outside all day. But when it comes to the bad weather and stuck inside during the winter or whatever season it might be, I think a tiny, tiny space like that might be hard on somebody who's younger, you know, because they want to run around. They want to, you know, kick the soccer ball, throw the basketball, whatever. And, you know, when you have those bad days and there's not that room to spread out, I think it's got to be really tough. So I admire the families who are doing it. And, you know, if I had several children, I can tell you I would not be full-timing ever in a 25-foot Airstream. I'd need a 30-footer at least and make sure that the kids have some space and they're not on top of each other. And we've seen some families who've done it really, really well over the years. And you guys know who you are. You're awesome. And I've also seen some families who have done it really bad. And, you know, the kids look miserable. And they're not having the good time. And, you know, mom and dad's dream of this minimalism, you know, might not be the greatest for younger minds right away. You know, you've got to be suited to this. You've really got to be suited to this. So in the end, you know, tiny home movement, what do I think of it? Hey, you know, do what you like and live the way you want to and enjoy it. But I think it's a bit of a fad right now. I don't see it continuing in a huge way personally, that, you know, everybody's going to be moving to tiny homes. I think that a lot of people have the wanderlust and would like to work from the road and work from their RV like I've been doing for years, and it's doable. But I think there comes a point, and I've seen a lot of full-time families come off the road in the past couple of years too, and you guys know who you are. And I can understand why. I mean, that's partially why I made the big decision that I did the other week, that, hey, it's rental house time. So should you try it out? Absolutely. You shouldn't not try things in life. But if you don't like it, you're not a bad person. Just because it's this trend and it's this fad right now, this is not for everyone. And, you know, me, a decade later, yeah, that was it. I needed space. And I needed to get away from that hot water heater that almost killed me. And, you know, I just needed to feel some peace of mind. So that's why we did what we did. So if you don't like it, if full-time RVing isn't for you, if tiny home living isn't for you, totally understand. But if it's something that's curious to you, don't let me discourage you. Give it a whirl. But keep in mind, it's not all, you know, roses and sunshine. There are realities, just like living anywhere else. It doesn't matter. There are always challenges. And one of the things is we've got to learn how to overcome those challenges. So, all right, there's my thoughts on full-time RVing and living in tiny homes. Works for some people, doesn't work for other people. And, you know, don't feel weird of being on the wrong side of the socially cool thing if it doesn't fit with you. All right, as always, thanks for hanging out this morning, and thanks for stopping by and listening to the podcast. It's always appreciated. If you'd like to see some of the video stuff and drone stuff and photography, go on over to my YouTube channel. The YouTube channel, if you do a search on it at YouTube, it's just Rich Charpentier. And if you got questions or comments about the podcast, please feel free to email me at rich@rlcdesign.net. And the intro and exit music, as always, is licensed through soundstripe.com. And we've got links in the show notes for that too. If you need cool music for your next audio or video project, check out Soundstripe. You might like them. And finally, After the wrap-up of this podcast, we got a message from our sponsor, and that is Flipboard.com. All right, everyone, have an awesome Wednesday.